Oh, necked it.
Actually, that gets a kick forwards into the right.
That intentional runner, it's going to get there. Oh, excuse me. Look at this one.
This could be close. This could be really close.
Tuesday, May 14th, live on the Friendly Banter podcast presented by Banty. Andrew, how are you doing on this Tuesday? We're back on a pretty routine schedule, and it's a major week, so lots going on.
Yeah, major week. I'm excited to get into it. Otherwise, doing well. Can't complain. I know we've got some breaking news today that is going to be emotional for us to discuss, but we'll have to talk about it, and yeah, then we'll get into some picks and we'll talk some major championship golf.
Yeah, I honestly, the first I heard about the Rory divorce was a text from friend of the program Howard Sparks around noon today. Thought it was a joke. Didn't like there obviously been no rumblings of this. Was completely caught off guard.
I kept thinking it probably was some sort of bit or joke, and
yeah,
not that it would be funny, but it was just so out of the blue, so shocking. I couldn't believe it.
No, I think the first place I saw it from too was like when I went on Twitter was Nuclear Golf, who
right.
I don't know of their affiliation with any Saudi backed investments, but they do certainly have a slant. So I was like, oh, this is probably crossed the line. But yeah, then the mainstream media, I mean, I'm reading a Miami Herald article about it right now. So very, very surprising. Not a ton of detail. The McIlroy family is very different than a lot of celebrity divorces, I think. I mean, he is a relatively private individual. There's not that much known. I think this could go one of two ways. It could be like a reinforcement of how professional and mature and like diplomatic he is. It could be I'm expecting it to be a very clean and amicable process.
Yeah.
It would be unfortunate if we like had to change our entire view of Rory over the next 6 months.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. That was my big thing, was just like, what did I get wrong? Where am I wrong in my assumptions about how the world works?
Obviously much tougher on them than any of us, but two big Rory fans, and like you just grow up knowing certain things about, you know, the good Catholic man, and all of a sudden it's thrown to the wayside with Poppy being three now. It's upsetting. It's unfortunate to see. They had like such a perfect love story. They met like in a police escort on the day, like when Rory was late for the Ryder Cup. Like, it was a beautiful thing. Don't want to guess. Don't want to throw anything out there. Just really crazy day.
Yeah, I don't think we will make too many predictions or try to get too conspiratorial here. But it was sad to see come across the desk, and hopefully it gets resolved. I think it was interesting. You know, the papers got filed. You know, it was crazy. It was on like TMZ too, which is
yeah,
where
it's big time.
Saw it confirmed.
Wow.
I think it is like a big, going to be a big story in sports, you know, even outside of golf. But anyways, like,
yeah,
after one of like his best performances in many, many years, like the next day, like that was Sunday, the next day,
yeah,
papers in Florida for divorce. Like, obviously he knew that was coming on Monday. So yeah. Almost.
It makes you really, it kind of already puts the Rory McIlroy we know into question. Because that is like, that's psychotic behavior. That I don't think what he did this weekend is the sign of a healthily motivated individual. Like being like, I am just so angry at the world right now that I'm going to like I mean, Xander completely took himself out of the race, so he didn't really have to, like, beat the shit out of anybody. But he beat the shit out of, like, 140 dudes. He didn't have to do it head-to-head. But that was, like, now that we know this, it's almost scary. Like, what is he going to do next?
That is the thing. It's like, does this make you more or less confident betting on him now in the PGA Championship?
So confident.
I think the answer has to be more confident, which
yeah.
is just insane.
We'll get into that with our PGA Championship preview. Yeah, worth talking about now.
Yeah,
he's never won a major as a married person. All four of them came when he was single or somewhat engaged. I don't know about... Oh, my God. He might just be, like, a bad guy. I totally forgot about the Wozniacki thing until just now. He left her pretty late in the engagement.
I was just wondering that. Well, how did that one end?
He just broke up with her.
Oh,
like, very, very late in the process. Again, it was very quiet. There was no, like, a lot of people were probably, or like me, just remembering it, or maybe don't even know it. From
yeah.
what I can find, like, a few years ago, it was just like he decided he was going a different direction and it was over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as fun as though.
Whatever. We'll stay tuned and
yeah.
keep
moving. Well, I'm going to do more look into that timeline, like what that lined up with in terms of tournaments and results.
I do know that he went on a total tear, like an
okay.
absolute. I think that was right before he had won. I don't know. I don't know what year that was, but someone posted today like his next 12 starts were all like top tens.
Okay, then yeah, I think it has to be an automatic, like obvious gamble. There's a lot of Daily Mail articles about these Rory relationships that, you know, you can never trust too much, but I will be reading tonight. Into the more like golfing news, on course he was a horse again out of nowhere this weekend, and as Keith told us last week, Valhalla Wells Fargo is a great comp for what we'll see at Valhalla. Very similar distances, par 71. The stats that are pressed line up well. So all of that like mental stuff, it does look on course like Rory is locked in for this with what he showed us last week. And in a pretty Scotty-esque tournament, it was boring. It was fun to watch Rory run, but it was a boring Sunday.
Yeah, I was pretty engaged actually, given, you know, it was a big event, but clearly not a major. But I did love the Rory versus Xander, like, it was pretty much just
yeah.
the two of them for the entire weekend.
Yeah,
I had this beef with the broadcast, like they wouldn't shut up about this, like being exactly like match play. They're like, oh my god, it's two guys, just like match play. It's just like match play. I was just like, shut the fuck up. But it was awesome to see just like it clears out all of the other stuff that you have to like pretend to focus on, or like it makes it just very clear what you're watching. Like, okay, this is two guys kind of going at it for, at that point it was, you know, like 40 whatever, 36 holes.
Yeah.
Xander looked so good whatever Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then Rory, even, you know, what was it, eight holes after eight on Sunday? I think Xander was up by two.
Yeah, he was up. I think they head into the back nine, either one up or tied. It was very close into the back.
Yeah. So it was still engaging to that point. And then it was, I mean, like Rory took off. Like he took flight.
Yeah.
I mean,
he really did.
Birdie, eagle, birdie, whatever it was. It was, you know, two eagles, I think five birdies, six birdies. So I do think Xander fell apart, but I don't think it mattered. Like, I don't think there was any way that he was going to go as low as Rory did.
You're definitely right. It was not going to be like for Xander to match that. I saw there were a lot of, this has been a great few days on golf Twitter. Antti Faldo tweeted, it's good to see that we know the Wells Fargo is a serious tournament because Xander shit himself. Like, that solidifies for viewing audience that a tournament matters, because Xander could not compete down the stretch.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And he's still looking at Data Golf. He's still third, like their course fit and course history model. They still have him third most likely to win. Like, wise, he probably is all those things, but there's no way he can even sniff the top two dogs. Like, he just has proven time and time again that it'll never happen for him. Never might be a strong word, but I do feel that way at this point, that he'll never cross the barrier outside of the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't know if I like or dislike Xander or anything. You know what he is? He's just like that, like if it's like a race, like a horse race, there's like the fake horse that, it's just like the race car.
Yeah.
It's exactly what That's he is. Like, there's no emotion to it. Like he's sort of setting the pace for the rest of the group. And, you know, you get to the final lap and he peels off and the rest of the guys can actually compete.
I really like that. That's great. That should be the clip. That should be like, we'll just start referring to Xander as the pace car. Like, he no longer gets a name. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's really good. And it's so accurate. And he's so good. It doesn't make sense. Whatever. That's what Data Golf is showing us, that he's a great fit for a lot of these longer places that really test where you can put the ball, like get yourself, think your way around your golf course and not just kind of beat it to death. He simply does not have that dog in him. Unfortunately, all of this is a moot question because we do have Bearded Scotty back for this week. But is there anything outside of the like second place race that you're really interested in studying this week?
Well, just on Scotty, I will say congratulations to him and Meredith. Whatever, Meredith finally their child, like impeccable timing.
Yeah. So
get the Masters in, get Harbortown, take a couple weeks off, back in time for the PGA.
Yeah. Like,
truly could not draw it up any better.
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of turning. Do you,
I know.
Not to get gross, but like, did they have the count? Like, where did they plan this out? Because they, whatever, millions of dollars with like the perfectly done schedule.
You've seen that Andrew Huberman clip?
No.
You know that guy is like the.
I actually talked about Huberman in my office today. A lot of dudes in my office love Huberman, and I'm kind of trying to hack up with the PhDs against Huberman on Twitter.
It was Team Science. I think that's right. I think he's like, what is that term called? I'm gonna have to look this up. But if you know what you're talking about, you would be like, he's making all of this shit up. Like, he's so warmed. But it's like, yes, the casual viewer, he's like, oh man, this guy's a genius. But anyways, there's this massive clip or like viral clip of him talking about how to get pregnant. And basically, like, you just have to have sex 6 times because like every time. Okay. A 20% chance of pregnancy or like insemination.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's how it works. Yeah.
He just doesn't know probabilities, but that would basically, whatever the math is, I do think Meredith and Scotty figured it out.
Look into it. I completely agree. He's got the fuck. It's also great now that we know this juxtaposition of like maybe Rory turns into a dark knight. I don't want to use the phrase bad guy because that's just not accurate, but like maybe bad boy is a better accurate. Like, we have this sterling perfect individual who's like maybe never sworn in his life, who cannot be beat, and now Rory looks to be charging. It seems to be like he's got this tumult again. Maybe it's the perfect setup. Maybe it's exactly what we need. It's kind of giving like peak Major Brooks of like, I just go to this dark, dark place and like no one can get on my badness level. Maybe that's what we need.
Well, if you assume that those three are the favorites, which I don't think they are. I think Brooks is further down.
Yeah.
I think in my book those are the three favorites. I think it's Scotty 1, Rory 2, Brooks 3.
Yeah.
Would be if I had to pick horses here. But there is this like very interesting juxtaposition between all three of them right now. Like, Scotty, the most happily married person on the planet, just had his first child. Rory, the sort of seemingly perfect
leader
at face value, now seemingly having a bunch of stuff falling apart behind the scenes.
Yeah.
and going through a divorce. And Brooks today just posted Jenna on like the cover of like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Yeah.
Which was sick, like awesome for him. But it was just funny to sort of see all of their different relationships come to the surface at the same time.
It is very funny. Brooks, to get into those odds, Brooks is Scotty's 350 to win, which is mind-boggling stuff. Rory is 700, and then Brooks is next at 1200. So huge gaps between those top two. But yeah, it is funny. It's kind of like, I don't know who's Harvey Dent. I don't know who's Bruce Wayne. And I don't know who's the Joker. They all have like a lot of elements of each.
Yeah, it's like a cinematic universe. I don't know if it's like a rom-com or like
I think it's a tragedy. I think we're watching a tragedy.
Dramedy? Tragedy, but it is good drama for sure.
Yeah. Outside of those heaviest dogs, things get maybe not. Things get rare. You're in rare air in those top three, and then we kind of lose steam in terms of who Vegas thinks will have a chance to compete. Dana Golf has a slightly different setup on who the betting favorites to win are. They have Scotty, Rory, Xander. Brooks finds himself like ninth on Dana Golf. So a little bit of a different look from the odds makers to the stat keepers. But anything else you're really excited to see outside of the big three?
Not too specifically. I'll just go down the board here a little bit. All right. So I'm looking at a couple different books here, but yeah, it's basically 1, 2, 3, Scotty, Rory, either Xander or Brooks, I think, depending on the book. Crazy that Ludwig is right there with John Rahm
in this
seventh spot. They're both plus 2,000, depending on where you're looking.
Yeah.
That feels a little crazy. I guess
John Rahm. I don't know who to trust. Before we get into Rahm, like, I don't know who to trust about Ludwig. Like, the Masters should have been a wake-up call to the world. Like, this dude is different. I don't know if he's that different. Like, he can't be that good. Like, there's no way that he's going to be up there in every major. Maybe he is. Like, I just don't know. It doesn't make sense to me yet that he could be like a guaranteed top 10 statistically at these majors right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know what's funny is all of that like hoopla that we and everyone made at the beginning of the year that like, it was all of the like mules and the shitty players were winning every tournament. Like it was so bad for golf and the PGA Tour. And we're into the major season now, and it's pretty strictly just horses.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm really glad that it's worked out like that. I'm not concerned. Oh, no offense to anyone who catches a shot here. I'm not concerned about like Billy Ho or Keith Mitchell or like Lowry sneaking in a win. It does feel like we know who's going to be around.
Yeah, and it's not even like we don't know who the best players are. Like, we know who the best players are. I think we know who the next best tier is. Like, I think it's a really clean slate of like,
yeah, it is
a small group of A plus players. It's like the triple A bonds.
Yeah,
and you can kind of keep going down, and it's pretty easy to delineate between where people stand.
Yeah, it should be good.
I'm just gonna keep going for a few names here. So that was Ludwig, John Rahm, sort of in that 6-7 spot around plus 2. Bryson and Max Homa, and really Joaquin Niemann as well, seem to be next up after that, mostly around plus 1,000. I know Bryson played well at the Masters. I don't think he's gonna win. I am interested to see how Max and Joaquin do. Then you get to keep going. You go.
I think Joaquin is slightly higher than the rest of those guys in terms of the percentage to win here on data, and like even though with the odds, I would like to see him. I'd like to see him top 5. I want him to prove. I think this will help the golf ecosystem. Like, I want him to be really successful when everyone's together. Because I think that's like kind of the second rate live guys are really going to hopefully drive this thing through. Like, I want one of them to pick up a majors. I don't want it to be one of the obvious guys. I want it to be like a Joaquin, like a, I don't know, Carlos Ortiz is in that same category. But I want Tyrell Hatton to really succeed in a major, because then it'll be obvious, like everyone, like, oh my God, what are we doing that even these non-captains on LIV are beating the shit out of the PGA Tour guys? Like, yeah, we just gotta get this thing done.
I think I agree with that. I think Joaquin could do it.
He might be the only shot at that. So
yeah, I don't think Perel is as close.
No.
Then you get to Ghost of the Year, Victor Hovland. You get Tommy Fleetwood, Wyndham Clark. He should probably be higher. Cantlay, JT, Cam Smith. So pretty straightforward after that.
Yeah. I'm shocked to see where Dana Golf has Victor Hovland. You're so right about Ghost of the Year. Yeah. So I would expect him to miss the cut. I forgot he was like still a relevant individual at this point.
Yeah, he sucks.
All right. We can definitely just move into like kind of our last picks here and then try and lock in for the third period in Florida. It did get back to 2-1 since we started recording this game. Bruins up with a minute 30 left in the second. So Charlie Mack, I don't want to get off topic, but Charlie McAvoy scored. So something crazy must be happening down there. Do you want to do winner, top 10, top 20, and something crazy?
Definitely give me a winner. And then I would say freestyle after that. Anything you like within the realm of possibility.
I love this Batman universe dynamic that we've just spun up here. I think in my head, Rory's Harvey Dent, and he's the one who gets the statue at the end. So I think Rory is going to take this one home. It'll be a very amicable situation for the next 6 months of his life. Unfortunate, but amicable. He'll win this one, and he'll compete at one more major. This is his golf course. Like this makes all the sense in the world to me. So I think it has to be Rory.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that. You know what? This is truly like an ethical pretzel for me. I've rooted for Rory. I picked him like every major for the last like 10 years, but because I thought he was just such an awesome dude, and now to pick him after it being revealed that he might be less than is a true challenge for me to muster up that kind of, I don't know what you would call it. Just like, do I root for him now that I know that he's not as good of a guy as
maybe he is? Maybe that makes him, maybe he goes right back to Bruce Wayne. I can't figure it out. The outlier in that metaphor is Scotty. Like, there's nowhere to put Scotty. He's not any of the, he might be like Robin. I don't know. Like, he's not cool. Like, what's the women's name?
Catwoman?
No. The district attorney.
I don't know, but her first name is, I think, Rachel.
Rachel. But she dies, so it can't be her, because Scotty would never like succumb to anybody else's power. But I just think Rory's like gonna, I think they're gonna go head to head this week, and Rory's just gonna like beat him, like mentally beat him.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'll do two things. I will say Rory is my pick to win, and Scotty will definitively not win.
Okay, I like that. I really like that. And I kind of agree. I don't think we're going to see the Grand Slam this year. So I like that. My random one, I picked up from one tweet. I don't know who tweeted the exact stats. I could look right now, but that'd be bad radio. Danny McCarthy has been my guy for a while. He's higher up on this to win leaderboard than I think I've ever seen him in a major. He won't win because of the distance and like the ball striking placement that you need around Valhalla, but he's been very good this year, as noted many times by me, and bent grass in Kentucky. He is dominant on bent grass. They mentioned on the Wells Fargo broadcast a few times on Sunday how good he's been looking in general, and on bent grass, he's even more different. So I'll take a Denny top 10. I think I'm feeling really good about that.
I like that. All right, I've got a few.
I'll say that, you know, I said it last. I'll say it last major. I'll say it the major before. I'll say it every time. Denny will win something before I leave New York City, but I'll take top 10 at this moment.
Okay. All right, I've got a few. I'm liking playing around the cut line here. First and foremost, Aki will not make the cut.
No shot. No chance at hell. I love that.
I almost want to parlay this. Am I right that this is not going to be a fun course for Tiger to walk?
No, correct. Not pleasant.
God, that's tough. I wanted to parlay that with Tiger making the cut, but I will leave that alone.
Wow, there's some names. Yeah.
How do you feel about Hideki this week?
Not good. I was hoping that the Masters would kickstart this kind of season for him. I'll quickly pull up most recent results. I don't feel good. And usually there has to be some sort of mojo for me to pick him. I don't feel anything at the moment. He hasn't played since the Masters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I love that John Daly's playing, too.
I know. He's dead last in all the numbers here. Like, I mean, there's some... Rich Beam has a higher percentage to make the cut. That's... Oh, wait, I know this guy. Quick shout-out to Larkin Gross. Guy continues to make the field. I met him in my summer with Titleist as the assistant... or head pro at Springfield Country Club of Virginia. Guy can play. If he was a full-time hitter, he would be, like, a problem on the Corn Ferry or PGA Tour.
Is he a PGA pro?
Yeah, he went to Methodist, D3, like, golf professional power. They just pump out people who work in golf. And the year that I worked for Titleist, he kind of went on a little bit of a run at whatever that PGA was, so... I think this dude just lives to make the PGA Championship. Shout out to him.
You know what I like think I want to take is I got to figure out where the best odds are for this, but I think Scotty, Rory, and Brooks are all going to top five. Someone's got to have a
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too. It seems so obvious to say like that the top three favorites should perform well, but it really feels that way. Like, I don't feel that way in a lot of majors. They all seem to kind of have their own thing going on, like we've talked about. I love that play.
Yeah, what is that called in horse betting?
When you like show, place, finish? I don't know. I don't know a word for it.
Macto box or something?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I got to figure out who's got the line for the exacto box on Scotty, Rory, Brooks. That's going to be my last bet.
I like that. I think that's a great play. I think that'll scare enough people because that's a lot of things to happen. But I think there's a lot. I hope you can find value there. If you do, don't inform anyone except for me.
Okay.
But very much looking forward to it. Maybe we'll figure out who the Riddler is by the end of this weekend. I don't know. There's a lot that could go down in the next 5 days. We could see some really chaotic stuff, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm overwhelmed. But,
I'm a bit overwhelmed. It's like this one always sneaks up on you. Since they moved it, I think it was a great... The PGA is just tough because I didn't care by the end of August. It was clearly the fourth. But now it just sneaks up on you. And I also, like, I don't have time to care. I think I care more watching the tournament, but I have less time to, like, mentally get invested in it.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. I think maybe the Masters is just too early. Like, could you just do the Masters in May and, like, then space it out?
PGA? Yeah.
We'll just not have a major in April.
But then when would you put the PGA if you did the Masters in May?
I think you could then do, like, May, June, July, August.
My thing with the PGA, though, is when it was last, I just didn't care. I was like, all right, the big dogs are done. Now, I cared less than the players at that point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the player, I mean, I think the PGA, like the PGA Championship has done a good job of elevating the event. I think part of that is the calendar, but
yeah,
I think it used to basically just be like the players on the back half of the schedule.
Yeah.
Now, I do think like it still is very awkward and weird, but like the FedEx Cup stuff, I pay a little bit more attention to. Like some of that stuff has a bit more of a narrative that I can follow. So
yeah,
I don't know. Either way, like I wasn't prepared for it, but we'll do it live.
We'll do it live. That fucking we'll do it live. What's that guy's name? Brian O'Malley, the O'Malley Report.
Yeah,
yeah. Send that guy into the break. I love that clip. We will hopefully have a lot to talk about next week, and hopefully I will still have hockey to watch next week. Please pray for me.
Yeah, I guess just playoff-wise, you feeling good about the Bruins?
No, I feel terrible. I think it's...
Do you feel good about the Celtics?
Yes, definitely to get through the Cavs. Like, I'm not... Knock on wood. That's just not something I'm worried about. I expect the Celtics to be playing for the title. Like that's the expectation. If they don't meet that, it's a big disappointment. The Bruins are playing on borrowed time and have been for like 2 weeks. So we'll see what happens.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, cheers.
See ya.
We'll do it live. Okay. Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Swing it like a boomerang, a tank, come around, round, wanna hit the top, top. Ooh, la, 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 la. Chip, puck, you know what's the big whoop? When I play my game, and then I make my mama proud. Woo. Smash, bang, you gotta hit the ball far, then the crowd goes, woo. Then you hear the ooh, la, 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 la. Treat, treat. I want my birthdays all day long, let the bogeys go.